for his departure from them. And so it's an opportunity that he's giving of letting us see what he really, what message he wants to leave foremost in their minds as he leaves, as he prepares them, anyhow, for his departure. And this is a good time of the liturgical year for us for this because, of course, next Sunday we'll have the observance of the Feast of the Ascension of the Lord. And so I'd like to look at the gospel today, really just the first few words. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me, whoever loves me." And so he's putting love for himself at the center of the life of the disciples. This is the message he wants to leave with them. The sentence goes on to say, "If you love me, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him." But let's just stop at the beginning. Whoever loves me. I think that's the real question and the challenge for us. Maybe it seems too simple. Maybe that seems like something you would read on a greeting card or something like that. And yet it's really terribly profound. One time I went to confession to a wonderful priest. I think he's the oldest priest in the diocese. Actually, I saw him yesterday at the ordinations. He was there, even though he's well up into his 90s. When I got through and he was giving some advice to me and counsel, he said, "Do you love God?" I went, "Wow, Father, is it as bad as that?" You know? And I realized that this question of whether I love God or not is not a matter of a greeting card sentimentality. But it's tough as nails. Because he was absolutely right. If I really did love God, I wouldn't have been there, right? I mean, or at least I wouldn't have had some of the things to tell him that I did. Because if whoever loves me, as Jesus says in the gospel today, keeps my word. Do we love God? Is our relationship with the person of Jesus Christ absolutely central to our lives? Had another wonderful priest I knew when I was in seminary. He's now long gone to heaven. He was a very tiny priest. Was an Italian from the city of Rome, actually, originally. And he would just repeat to us over and over again, and he certainly didn't come up with this, but it was absolutely necessary that charity be at the center of everything that we do in our Christian life. And that's what charity is. Charity is the love of God above all things and the love of neighbor for the love of God. And if something doesn't have to do with charity, then it's good for nothing than to be thrown out. You know, St. Paul says much the same thing in that beautiful reading on love from Corinthians, where he goes on and on telling us about what love is. And he says, but if I can do all these wonderful things, all these spectacular things, have all these talents or whatever, but I don't have charity, I have nothing. And that is what has to set apart the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christians, is their love for him. Their love for him. Our Christian faith is not an abstraction. I had this lesson taught to me again very painfully one time This was when I was doing campus ministry, and one of the things you have to do in that is to be a beggar, among other things. I'll break some news to you. College students don't put a whole lot of money in the plate when it's passed around at Mass. Is that news to anybody? Anyhow, so if you're going to have anything to spend, you have to go beg, borrow and steal it from somewhere else. And I was talking to this gentleman, very, very philanthropic Catholic man, and he was asking me a little bit about what we were doing and this sort of thing. And he, at the end of it, he corrected me, and justly so. He said, "You never mentioned the name of Jesus." What kind of Christian ministry would never bring up the name of Jesus? And I'm afraid we live in a world, you know, Jesus was trying to keep his disciples from forgetting the essential things before he left. And I think that's what my job is to do before you leave Mass today, because you're going to be going back out into this world where it's very easy to get forgetful. I was at this conference a couple of weeks ago. I think I wrote to you about it a little bit. And one of the priests spoke at it and said that he and his team had been talking. They thought that, hey, if you know, like in a corporation, there's a CFO and a CEO and, you know, all those kind of things. He said that they had decided that what the pastor's role was the CRO. I was like, the CRO, the chief remembering officer. To help everybody to remember. Because, you know, that's what we're here to do at this Mass, is to remember what God has done for us. One of the reasons why we can love Him, well, the only reason we can love Him, is because He has loved us first and loved us so tremendously. Part of the Eucharistic prayer that I'll be saying in just a few minutes, part of it is called the anamnesis, which is a nice fancy Greek word for the remembering. And so what we need to do is to remember Jesus Christ all the time. I call that sort of holy accountability. When you remember simply his presence, you're just going to be better, right? He has that way of bringing out the best in us. Holy accountability. And it's when we forget him, when we forget that actually life is all about love of him and his love for the Father, that's when we get sidetracked by all kinds of useless things. So let me give you just a few practical, simple things that might help you to remember this as we go start every day in our, you know, busy lives. Well, first of all, when you first wake up in the morning, don't wake up cursing the alarm clock or anything like that, okay? Wake up and say, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm alive to tell you so." And just start thanking him for things right off the bat. It's a pretty good way to start your day. Don't you think it would set your day off on a pretty good tone if that's the way you started? And then immediately just get down on your knees and make a morning offering. Just right then and there, before the day has even started, offer it all to him. Every word you speak, everything you do, your work, every conversation you have, whatever sorrows or struggles or sufferings you might have, offer them all to him right off the bat. And again, that holy accountability thing comes into play. Because if you've offered it to him, wouldn't you want to only offer him the best? Won't that help, like late in the afternoon when you're starting to drag, to say, "Oh, wait a minute, I got to get back on my game here, okay?" Or when you're tempted to say that unkind word, "Wait a minute, do I want to offer that to God? No, I don't think so," you know? It helps us to remember. And then it also gives it, maybe some of the things you have to do during the day are not particularly pleasant or enjoyable things, or things that you like doing much. Well, now you have a motive for doing them. The love of God, which is the best motive in the world, right? And so there you go, right off the bat, you've given yourself two great advantages before the day's even started. As the day goes on, make sure that you set yourself a time apart for prayer with Him. It's just for Him. And in that prayer, make sure you do the most important kind of prayer is adoration. It's telling God that you love Him. That's the most important kind of prayer, because it's actually the most real. You know, in any relationship, isn't that the most important thing to do? Isn't that the most important thing to do to keep a healthy relationship? And so you need to do that with God. And also, you need to take enough time to stop and let God tell you that He loves you. Because He does. He's constantly telling you that. But so often, we just don't take the time to listen. But once we do, once we remember and are aware of this truth, it's the most important thing for us to know. It's what gives us the courage and the confidence to be able to face anything else that the world might throw at us. If I am a beloved child of God, what have I got to lose, really? You know? Nothing. And then before you end the day, wrap it all up nicely as well. Again, do an examination of conscience to tell God you're sorry right then and there that day for all those ways in which you have forgotten Him, in which you have not loved Him. And then maybe end it the way you began, with an examination of thanksgiving. Because even in that one day, you already have about a million more things to thank Him for. Those are some just little practical things. But I guarantee you, if you will do those things, you will be much more aware of your call to Christian discipleship, to be someone who loves Jesus, who loves Him. And your life is then turned into sort of the adventure of a love story. Yeah. Waiting to see what your beloved has for you next. And waiting to see the ways in which you can express your love for your beloved. It doesn't change one thing of the stuff that happens out there in our day and in our lives. But it completely changes us from the inside out. Whoever loves me, whoever loves me.